Casey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life. Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is Talk of Love, episode 60. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking right now because my next guest, Beverly, you know her from Rock of Love Bus and Charm School with Ricky Lake. She's going to be on next. And I already know that we have so much to talk about. So I just want to, just for a moment, say thank you to all of you for your support and for watching the podcast. If you haven't done so already, please click the subscribe button on YouTube. And also, if you don't mind giving this video a thumbs up, I would really appreciate that. And I also want to say, if you haven't noticed already, I'm wearing one of my Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time t-shirts. If you would like a shirt like this, I have several Talk of Love t-shirts that are available on the website, which is simply talkoflove.net. So from there, you can check out being a contributor, getting the shirt, all kinds of fun stuff. So anyway, without further ado, please welcome my next guest, Beverly from Rock of Love Bus and from Charm School with Ricky Lake. Hey, Beverly, it's so nice to see you. God, you look fantastic, girl. How are you?
Thank you, Lacey. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm so glad that we got to connect. You know, I know that you and I hung out like 10 years ago in Hollywood somewhere, and I remember getting good vibes from you, and I remember we had fun, but you and I haven't really spoken since then until just the other day. I remember you're like, if I come on the podcast, what are we going to talk about for 45 minutes? And then from there, do you know we talked on the phone for an hour and a half?
I know. We did. Yeah, we actually had lots to talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. Yeah, we hung out in LA and I don't remember where we were either, but we were somewhere and it was fun and we had a good time and you were great.
Well, thank you.
That's all I remember. I remember at the time, everybody's like, oh, Lacey's so evil. And I'm like, no, she was actually really awesome. I don't know what anybody's talking about. So.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And yeah, I appreciate you because as soon as I got on the phone with you, within like 10 minutes, I'm like, I feel like I've known this girl for like years, you know, and I love that about you.
Well, good. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Rock of Love. First, I want to know what got you interested in auditioning for the show? Like, how did that all happen?
So I actually didn't submit an audition or anything like that. I went to a Poison concert and I was with a bunch of friends and actually my boyfriend at the time, and ended up just getting down to the front row. And Big John, who I think everybody knows, ended up giving me a backstage pass, which I, you know, after the show. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go see what this is about. So actually my friends and my boyfriend waited for me. I'm like, let me just go see. And so I was standing there in this long line of people and it was just ridiculous. And I was about to turn around and leave. And Big John goes, oh, there you are. And I'm like, huh, me? And he's like, yeah, there you are. And so he comes over to me and he goes, here, I'm going to give you a phone number. This phone number gets in touch with me and Brett. I'm like, okay. He goes, give me your phone number. I'm like, all right. So I gave him my phone number. He, you know, gave me some random phone number. And I think it might've been his phone number. I don't know. But anyway, that was, I think, a Saturday. Monday, I got a call from VH1 saying they wanted me to come in and do an on-camera audition for Rock of Love.
Oh so, my God. That
is
the coolest way that I have yet to hear of anybody get on one of the Of Love shows. That's awesome.
A lot of people, it was kind of crazy.
It's really cool. I mean, that just goes to show like they really, really wanted you, but it wasn't like the production that wanted you or the casting. It was like Big John and Brett. Like, that's really, really cool, Brett Beverly. That's like awesome.
I thought it was cool, you know?
It's really cool. Like, literally everybody else auditioned. Like, they either, you know, saw an ad for the, for the, you know, casting online or on Craigslist. Or like they were at a club and, you know, somebody in production or casting saw them at a club or whatever. But I have never heard anybody say what you just said. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And then, I mean, I went to North Carolina. So, I mean, I still had to audition. It wasn't like you're on the show, you know.
I still
had to go audition. And then, so when I went to, so I lived in Georgia at the time, which I'm back in Georgia now, but I lived there then. And so I drove to North Carolina for the audition. And when I went into the audition, I just saw like all the other girls kind of lined up for the audition. And it was, I felt extremely out of place just with what I was seeing there. And I'm like, huh, all right, this is interesting. And when I went into the audition, the casting director, I guess, he's like, you know, the last girl just got naked sitting in the chair that you're sitting in right now. And I'm like,
oh my God.
That's great. Thanks. I think I'm going to get up now.
Wow.
Yep. But so yeah, I kind of told the story to them about how I ended up being there. And afterwards, the casting director texted me and he said, best interview since we've been on the road.
Nice.
I was like, oh, well, that's good. Maybe it'll work out well.
That's awesome. Well, you know, a lot of the fans of the shows were writing on the Talk of Love, like Instagram and YouTube and stuff. There was a lot of people were saying the one thing that they really, really liked about you is that you weren't one of those like blonde, big titted stripper types. And not to say that those girls weren't awesome too, but it's just, they can't all be that. Like you need somebody that is a little bit more grounded and that sort of thing. And I know based on what I was reading from fans that is specifically the reason they liked you. They said that you were very real. You were very like girl next door. You were very down to earth. And even I think on one of it was one of the dates that you had with Brett and some of the other girls and everybody went, you guys went to a strip club.
And,
Yeah. And you were like the only one that wasn't going to like jump on the pole. You know, like that's not my style. That's not who I am. And I respect that. I know the fans respect that about you, that you are just true to yourself no matter what. You don't cave to the pressure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I was absolutely not going to cave to the pressure. And especially that night, I mean, it was, first of all, when I won the date with Brett, it's not where I was expecting to go.
I like going,
it's fun. I'm not always going to get up on stage and shake my ass. And that's kind of what I wasn't going to do then, especially on camera. Because at that time, my children were young. I knew at some point they were going to probably watch the show. And I really did not want them to see their mother on stage on a stripper pole. And then Fred actually pulled me aside because I was being a buzzkill and, you know, talked to me about it. And I let him know, you know, that's the reason I'm not doing it. And, you know, if he didn't like it, he didn't like it. And I don't really give a shit.
If I was ever dating a guy and on the first date, he was like, let's go to strip club, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, I've been to strip clubs with, like, boyfriends and my husband and stuff, but, like, not on the first date, you know?
Yeah. it was a little weird. I mean, and they wouldn't tell us where we were going. And so everybody else got all dressed up and whatever. And so after the whole hockey thing, that was the date that I won or whatever. So they let me have the cell phone, and I guess you know kind of how that went, or I don't know if it was different for you guys because you guys were in a house and we were on the bus, but basically we had a cell phone that we all had to pass around and use on speakerphone. So I hadn't talked to my kids in quite a while at that point. So after that hockey thing, they gave me the phone. I was on the phone with my daughter for maybe 2 minutes, had literally just started talking to her, and the producers came on, get off the phone, blah, blah, blah. So they took the phone away from me, made me hang up, and then said, you got to get ready. I'm like, you got to tell me what we're doing. Like, what am I getting ready for? So at that point, I was just kind of pissed off. So I'm like, you know what? I don't really give a shit what we're doing. I'm wearing my camos and my tank top. We're going wherever we're going.
I love that. That's awesome. That, like, you're just so like no fucks given. Let's go back to your audition. So you said you had a boyfriend at the time. How did he feel about you doing the show? Was he like supportive or was he weird about it? Or how did that go down?
So actually he was supportive to a point. We kind of, when I ended up actually, you know, realizing I was going to be on the show or at least had a real good shot at being on the show, we had a conversation about it because it was kind of a new relationship. So we're kind of newly in love, newly doing all this stuff. So we talked about it. And basically we kind of left it like this. We know where we are now. I'm going to go do this thing. We're going to reevaluate when I'm done and then we'll see where we are. And if I sleep with him, then we're done. That was kind of the criteria. Yeah, yeah. For doing it. And, I mean, he ended up being my husband at the end for almost 10 years.
Oh, wow. But, that's interesting. Okay. Well, that's cool. I also want to ask you, so this kind of answers the question. So obviously, going into the show, you already knew who Brett Michaels was. You knew it was Brett Michaels, which actually gives you an advantage because a lot of girls didn't know who The Bachelor was going to be. And they were sort of guessing going in, which is pretty funny. Had you seen the previous seasons of Rock of Love?
I had not actually. I was not a fan of reality TV. I never actually watched it before. I had not actually seen one season before I went on the show. So I think both Amber and Heather maybe came on our season at one point doing something, and I didn't know who either one of them were, even though all the other girls were freaking out.
So. That's funny. Do you think that gave you an advantage or a disadvantage to not have seen the previous Rock of Loves?
Oh God, you know what? I don't know if it was either one. I don't know if it really gave me an advantage or a disadvantage. I think it just kind of was what it was. I don't know. I don't really think it did either one.
That really is like a testament to your character, how well you handled it, not knowing what you're getting yourself into, because I had Hotlanta from Flavor of Love season 3 on just recently. And she didn't know the shows either. And she, similar to you, she, you know, that show was like the first time she had any awareness of the show. Uh-huh. Like she hadn't seen Flavor of Love 1 or 2 and was kind of going in blind. But for her, because she is such a sweet, soft girl, and I would describe you as sweet, but I wouldn't describe you as soft. I would describe you as a hard ass in a good way. But Hotlanta got like just decimated, and it ended up being really kind of traumatic for her. But because you are sweet, but also you don't let people fuck with you, I think that was sort of like your saving grace in the whole thing. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. Yeah. I mean, the first day everybody just started riding on me and I mean, about my shoes for all things, you know, so whatever, you know, I mean, I wasn't going to take shit from anybody. I wasn't going to be the instigator, but I also wasn't going to take shit from anybody. So that was just kind of my mentality, I guess, at the time, you know?
Yeah. I think that's really great. So one thing that everybody, myself included, wants to know is, I've had a few girls on from your season and nobody seems to be able to remember the infamous body shot / vagina shot incident with Gia and DJ Lady Tribe Nikki. Do you remember everything that happened that night? Because from our perspective, being, you know, the audience, all we saw was like some crazy shit was going on. All of a sudden, the camera just panned to everybody's expressions of like shock and horror. What exactly happened? Nobody seems to be able to remember.
Really? Because
everybody was wasted.
What I remember happening is Gia basically got on the bar. They had a test tube shot. DJ Lady Tribe, who knows what her name is now, put it, you know, in her. And then, I think Gia put it in herself and then DJ Lady Tribe took it out with her mouth. So obviously they were not going to show that on TV. So they basically did a pussy shot.
Right.
And so Gia, I don't know if that's been a thing.
It is now.
It is now, I guess.
So let me get this straight. So Gia, so was it like one of those test tube shots? Okay. So Gia put the shot in her pussy and then Nikki took it out like with her mouth?
Yep.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was gross and just, I don't know. I mean, that's why everybody was like, I'm sure it's why they panned to everybody with crazy reactions, because we all did have extremely crazy reactions. It was just,
so did she like take her panties off or did she just like pull them off?
I don't know if she had any on, or maybe she, I mean, okay, now granted, this was like 12 years ago.
Right.
I remember seeing it, but I don't know exactly how it all went down. I don't know if she took them off, she pulled them to the side, she didn't have any on. I don't know. All I know is it happened and it was gross.
I want to know, if you end up with like an infection or something, how do you explain that to your gynecologist?
That would be a really weird story. Kind of like the guys going like, I don't know how this gerbil got up there. It's weird.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you explain it? Well, so there's a really awesome Reddit subreddit for Rock of Love. And I read on there that there was an insinuation that it might not have been 100% consensual, that Nikki, DJ Lady Tribe, might have been a little aggressive or pushy about the pussy shot with Gia. Do you remember any of that?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't know that. I really have no idea if it was non-consensual or what. I mean, I was kind of just standing there, you know, with the other girls drinking, getting to know everybody. And it was just kind of out of the corner of my eye that this all happened. So whether or not one of them was more forceful than the other, I really don't know. I just know that it ended up happening in the end.
That's so insane. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like kind of gross. I'll give you that as well. And yeah. It would be weird to be in that environment. If I was you, I would be definitely happy that they ended up going home, because it kind of like makes it like, okay, well, am I supposed to have to compete with that in order to stay in the house?
Are we all just nasty little sluts? Is that what this is about? I mean, that's what you are, but not what I am. So let's see how this goes.
Did you feel that way though? Did you feel like I don't want to compete like that?
I mean, really the first day I felt very out of my element, because I mean, the producers even came up to me and they're like, do you feel like you're in your element? I'm like, hell no. Like, this is crazy. I don't even know where all these girls came from. I didn't even know these girls existed in society and can survive in society, honestly. by just that action, I didn't necessarily feel threatened or like I didn't want to be there. I was just like, man, this they're insane. That's you know, I'm going to do my thing. They're going to do their thing. And we'll see how it all plays out in the end.
That's so wild.
That's kind of my process.
Well, one thing I think is also cool though, is there is always the question of like, who's really there for Brett? That was always like the question among everybody in all three seasons. But what's interesting about you is, given the fact that you didn't watch Rock of Love, you were genuinely a Poison fan, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I was absolutely a Poison fan. I mean, that's how I ended up getting on the show, from one of his concerts.
Right.
So, I mean, I've loved Poison forever. It's funny because I went a long, long time ago to my first Poison concert with my first ex-husband. And we ended up being on the front row. I don't know how I ended up always being on the front row, but I ended up there that time too. And that was the first time I ever seen Brett perform live or really even knew a lot about him. And he was just so charismatic on stage, and he was pretty. Like, he was just very pretty, you know?
I really
liked it. And then, I mean, I don't know if you remember the episode where we talked about the free pass list. Like, that's where that came from. So, like, my ex-husband and I talked about the free pass list. And, of course, this was, like, Britney Spears at the time and whatever. And mine was Brett Michaels for a long time. And
That's interesting. How funny.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So did you think that, so clearly you were attracted to him. Did you start to develop feeling like true feelings? Cause I feel like you were kind of like up and down throughout the show, depending on what was going on. And I also definitely felt like Brett had genuine feelings for you. I mean, the fact that you made it to the final four, I thought was like spoke volumes, but do you feel like you were falling in love with Brett, or that you could fall in love with Brett, or did you kind of think of it as just like a TV show?
So did I feel like I was falling in love? No. Now had it been more of a real situation, maybe, because I think he's a great guy. I think he's a very caring guy, and I do think he's a genuine guy. And especially for as long as he's been in the business that he's been in, I think he's really kind-hearted and just genuine. And that's not, you don't see that very often with people who've been in that business for that long. So I really think he's a great person, and I really like him as a person. And yeah, had it been a normal situation where we met and we talked and we had normal dates, then yeah, I could see that happening. In the situation that it was in, it was just such a clusterfuck, you know, that it was, I mean, when Mindy was seriously sitting there crying, saying her heart's on the line and she loves this man, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know how that could happen in the time period that we had and the amount of time that we had to spend with him.
I agree.
But what I'm saying is, I think it could have happened like organically.
Yeah.
That situation
completely makes sense to me. And in fact, Destiny from Rock of Love 2 was sort of in the same boat. You know, she made it, I think, to the final three or four, I can't remember. But either way, towards the very end, she was like, I really, really like Brett a lot. And I could see myself falling for him for sure. But it's been 3 weeks, you know, like, how do you fall in love with somebody in 3 weeks?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, and then she kind of got punished for that as well. So I'm totally with you on that for sure. So another mystery on your season was, so you were on the bus with Cammy and Ashley, right?
Yeah.
So what the heck happened that we didn't see that made it so that Cammy just decided to go home?
So that was, I think that was after the body painting thing, and Brett invited the three of us onto the bus, I believe. I don't know that I can really talk about everything that happened on the bus.
Well, Ashley admitted that she hooked up with Brett at some point.
So then, yeah. So yeah, we all, so we all ended up, he had him turn the cameras off, which never happened. Only time the cameras were ever off was if we were all sleeping and we were quiet. If we started whispering, they came back in, mic'd us up, brought the cameras back in. So, I mean, we were always on camera, even if we were in the bathroom. So that particular time, Brett didn't allow the cameras in. We went into the bedroom of his bus, shut the door. And yeah, he very much hooked up with Ashley. Cammy was kind of on the side, and I was kind of standing there like, what am I here?
Oh, that's insane. So was it supposed to be like a threesome or a foursome kind of situation?
I don't know what it was supposed to be. I know it was weird. Ashley was into it. I mean, Ashley loved it. Ashley was great, you know? And I don't know. It was a weird situation. And like I said, like I was in a relationship before I even started the whole thing. So being in that situation weirded me out, first of all, because, you know, I had more feelings about the relationship that I was in than Brett at that time, because I'd known him for like 5 days, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was a weird situation. Why Cammy just freaked out and wanted to go home? I mean, I guess it was just too much for her. That's all I know, is that it was too much for Cammy. She didn't want to deal with that, although she seemed kind of into it when she was in the room.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then I guess decided she didn't want to go down that road.
Wow, that is so crazy. Yeah, because it's interesting to me that the producers let her go. So I figured it had to be something major, because so many people have wanted to quit these shows or have threatened to quit these shows, and the producers are always like, nope. You know, they either talk them into staying,
right,
or a couple of them were even like threatened with lawsuits if they left prematurely.
If they left.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So the fact that they
and maybe she had something else going on. Like, I mean, she had talked, you know, when we're all there together, you know, we're talking about personal stuff. I mean, I know she had some personal stuff that had happened before. So maybe some of that was coming up. None of us really ever found out why she totally left. Cause you know, once somebody decides to leave, they're gone. Like, we don't see them again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. But she seemed like she was having fun, and then she didn't say anything. Did you guys spend the night, or were you just there for a couple hours and then left, or do you remember?
No, we didn't spend the night. No, yeah, it was a very short time. And then it was a very short time.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, we left and went back to the room. And then that's when we all started wrestling around after we got off the bus. That's funny. I just remembered that part.
That's so crazy. Let's talk about the night that you kissed Brett's drummer. I thought that was so funny. First of all, did you watch the show back on TV afterwards? Okay, because I think you had mentioned that you were like, "Oh, I just had a lot to drink, and the night was kind of like fuzzy."
I thought it didn't happen.
What's that?
I absolutely thought it didn't happen. I was adamant that it didn't happen. Because Ashley was so adamant that it did happen. She's like, "You kissed a drummer, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Obviously this is the next day. Yes, I had a lot to drink. Yes, we all had a lot to drink." I went to the producers and, you know, the people that were around us, and I'm like, "Did anybody see me kiss the drummer?" I'm like, "Did that actually happen?" Because Ashley's like very adamant that this happened. Everybody's like, "No, nobody saw anything. Ashley's just crazy."
Really?
So I'm like, okay, it didn't happen. And because I didn't remember it. And the only person saying it happened is Ashley. And she was a crazy bitch. So, I mean, I just kind of went along like, okay, it didn't happen. Told Brett it didn't happen. Told him she was a crazy liar. Also told him, you know, if I ever find out it did happen, then, you know, my apologies. I fucked up. It wasn't until the show aired, which was almost a year later. And VH1 did a weird thing where they would air it in the morning before they were going to air it at night. And I don't know why they did that. But anyway, I had a bunch of people call me. They're like, "Oh my God, you did kiss a drummer. So I'm with my boyfriend at the time, who I was with, you know, before I started the show, and I'm sitting there and I had to tell him, like, so I'm getting some feedback, and apparently I did kiss the drummer. And then when I remember the night, it's spotty, but I remember it. And I remember we were in the casino, we were playing craps or poker, blackjack, something, I don't know, whatever. And somehow when the show aired, they zoomed in like 50,000 times and found some grainy shot of me and him through the whole rest of the crowd where I'm like giving him some peck on the lips, right?
Yeah, it was kind of quick. It wasn't like
makeout session. This was like, we were family. It was like, good luck, roll the dice, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what it was from what I remember it being. I know it wasn't more than that. And that's why I didn't even think that it happened, because I think it was just such a fast kind of peck, good luck, bye.
Right.
But yeah, I really didn't realize that it actually happened until the show aired.
Wow. Were you just like, damn it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was like, fuck, I was wrong, man. Like, I told everybody it didn't happen, and it did. I felt like such an idiot, but you know.
Yeah. Because shit happens. Kisses happen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So I want to talk about the episode of the exes. And I remember you were so upset. You were really upset. And a lot of people were like, well, does that mean that she still had feelings for her ex? And if so, what is she doing here on the show? But I actually did understand that, because if you spend that much time with a person, then you would hope that they would have your back still. I mean, if it's just like somebody you dated for 6 months, then whatever.
Right.
But I totally get it. In fact, my first long-term boyfriend that I was with for 9 years when I was in my 20s, he was also my guitar player for my band Nocturne. After we broke up, he ended up dating a couple of girls. He's married to one now. She's fucking awesome. I love her. She and I talk all the time. And my current husband, Johnny, is friends with him as well. So like, we're all cool with each other. And in fact, if I ever need guitars, I'll call him up and like, hey, come play guitars for me. So from that perspective, I understand, you know, I would hope I could count on him too. And I would be hurt as well, but I don't have feelings for him at all. You know, in fact, I would never get back together with him. So I got it. I totally understood it. So you just felt like you felt betrayed, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it was more that than anything. It wasn't about feelings for him at all. I mean, obviously we ended things because we needed to. But when you're standing there, you know, in front of cameras, and they're like, oh, here, Jamie, here's your ex, here's your ex, here's your ex, here's your ex. And then Brett looks at me, so we called Alan and he said he declined. And I'm like, so like, really nobody's here for me? Like, nobody. So I'm standing up here all by myself where everybody else has somebody, when we've been alone, separated from everybody for so long. I think that was the biggest thing. We've just been alone with a bunch of people we don't know, with no contact to the outside world for so long at that point that it was just overwhelming.
You wanted like a familiar face and someone that was like in your corner for you, as opposed to the other girls that were not ever going to be in your corner.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just then being the one standing there with nobody, it really upset me. And it did upset me that he didn't agree to come, because just like you said, like, I mean, so he's the father of my kids. We were together for a long time. We're still great friends. We were then as well. So it upset me that he, you know, decline. I didn't even know they were asking him. Like, I had no idea until that night that they had asked him to come. But yeah, you know, it upset me. But I had feelings for him, just because, you know, I would have liked to have seen his face, seen anybody's face that I knew, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I totally get it. Did you confront him after you were done filming? Like, why the fuck were you not there for me?
Oh, yeah. he's a man of few words. So he doesn't really talk a lot. He's very, very introverted. So I didn't get a lot out of him as far as why. I think it was more, he was just kind of worried about the whole vibe of the show and the kids and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I think he was concerned about that as a whole. And then both of us kind of being on there, he didn't know how it would go. So I think he was more concerned about just, you know, the kids than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we don't still have that beef, obviously. It's been a long time, but
I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, I will say that the one good thing is Brett even mentioned, like, if I was in a situation and my girlfriend didn't show up, I'd be like, yes, you know, because there's always a potential that they might be asked like just the right question to, you know, so that he accidentally reveals something about you that maybe you didn't want revealed. So maybe in a sense, that was a saving grace for you.
I mean, maybe so. Who knows? I don't really think that would have happened with him because he's just not that. But who knows? You know, like you said, the right question. I don't know. I don't know what the right question would be in that scenario. But like I said, at that point, I didn't even really care. I just wanted to see somebody that I knew.
Yeah.
So that's what was upsetting to me.
Yeah, I completely get it. Yeah, because at times it can be lonely in that house, you know, when you're just on your own and I see a hand sneaking in. That was awesome. I see like this hand. So we have some fan questions that okay. I want to ask, and there's some good ones. Okay, great. So from the Talk of Love podcast Instagram page, Melissa L. asks, my favorite moment from all three seasons was when you called Brett out for not shaving and then told him to get over his song from 20 years ago. He couldn't take the heat. Yeah, you really laid into him. And it was hilarious because nobody had done that. You know, I think one of the girls maybe went off on Flav, but nobody had ever gone off on Brett. And I think that nobody would dare. And I was like, damn, that's harsh. But also like, Beverly's a badass.
Yeah, it's funny. Like every single elimination, I thought I was gone because I had done some crap like that, right? Like said something or, you know, just been retarded. And I thought I was done every time. And I wasn't. And it was weird, but I stayed. So, yeah, I mean, that was just, we were at some bar. Of course, we had a lot to drink because we had a lot to drink all the time, the whole time we were on the show. And I was sitting next to him, and I actually remember this part. I'm like, dang, you really need to shave. He's like, yeah, like it was like this in the Every Rose video. I'm like, yeah, but that was like 20 years ago. Like, that was kind of the extent of it. And he's like, and then of course, they make it look like he was like, ah, what? But I mean, we never actually talked about that. I don't know if he was ever actually offended or not. But
I mean that, you know, what I like, he seemed not offended in that moment.
Right.
Well, I mean, I will say that one thing that I like about Brett is that he is definitely like a jokester. Like he likes to be playful. So, I mean, I would think that if he wasn't, because yeah, it looks like he was upset right then and there based on how they edited it. But if you're saying that wasn't, was his reaction in the moment, then that leads me to believe that he wasn't actually upset.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he didn't seem upset. Obviously, when you watch the show back, it looks like he was upset, just like you said, because of how they edit it. But who knows how he really felt, because he never talked to me about it.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe so.
I know that you had some things that you brought with you that you had him sign. Do you still have those things, or whatever became of those items that he signed?
The teddy bears that Taya gave me so much shit for.
Yeah.
So I home gave them to my children.
Oh,
I don't think they still have them. Oh, shit. I think they were more important to me than them, unfortunately.
Oh,
so what? Like, oh, a teddy bear. Thanks, Mom.
So what were your overall feelings of like the top five girls? Like who did you like the most? Who drove you crazy? Because I know what it looks like from our end, but what were your feelings in real time?
In real time, Mindy, I really liked for a while. Then she kind of went nutso in the end for whatever reason. I don't know. She just got super emotional and I don't know. Taya. I don't know. I don't want to like start, you know, bashing on anybody. I'm not a fan of Taya.
Okay, I'll take it.
I'm not a fan of Taya.
I think your expressions say it all. In fact, I think one of my favorite things about you is you have the most amazing eye rolls, I think, of. You don't just like roll your eyes, you like roll your whole head. It's pretty amazing. You're like, I can tell Beverly's annoyed.
Yeah, right? So top, gosh, who were the top five? Taya, Mindy.
Jamie.
Me, who was the next one?
I think Ashley.
Was she?
I think so, if my memory serves me correctly. And what about Jamie? What were your feelings on Jamie?
Jamie, I love Jamie. Jamie was one of my favorite people on the show. We actually lived together in LA for a while once we both moved to LA. When I filmed the show, I still lived in Atlanta. After the show was done, before it started airing, I moved to Los Angeles and Jamie was in New York and then she moved to Los Angeles. So we were roommates in an apartment in LA for a while. So Jamie's a great girl. I love Jamie. what am I trying to say about her? I don't know. She's fun. She looks fun. Yeah. She was a lot younger than me. So she was just kind of on a different path with things than I was. So that's kind of why she went back. She lives in Vegas now. And like, she worked with Britney Spears for a long time after the show. So like, she's done some really cool stuff after that. That's but yeah, awesome. We lived together for quite a while. Yeah.
You've actually lived with a number of girls. Who all have you lived with from Rock of Love?
Okay. So Jamie, Farrah. Farrah is also one of the girls that I still keep in touch with quite a bit.
Farrah always talks about how awesome you are. And you and Farrah have been genuinely really tight as like real life friends for a really long time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, Farrah's great. And it's funny because you see it on the show and it kind of looks like we're at odds, but no, we've actually been friends for a long time. We've hung out obviously outside of the show and, you know, gone to each other's houses and all that stuff, even though we live in different states. But so she lived with me for a little while when she came to LA, her and Heather.
So you and Heather lived together?
Yes.
How was that?
So like we discussed earlier, I had never seen any of their previous shows before I went on the show. So I didn't know about Heather. I didn't know about what anybody thought about Heather. I didn't know how Heather acted. I didn't know anything. I kind of met Heather through Farrah. She needed a place to crash, whatever. I'm like, all right, well, you can stay here. Everybody I knew told me, don't do it. I'm like, well, first of all, I don't even know her. This was TV. I know how things were edited on my show. So I'm sure that happened on hers. So until she does something to me, you know, I'm not just going to judge her based on what somebody else tells me. So she moved in for a little while. At the time, she was still dating Clark Gable's grandson. And there was a bunch of weird stuff going on. But anyway, so she needed a place to stay. So she stayed there for a little while with Farrah. And then we just had a big, big, big falling out.
What? You had a falling out with Heather?
I know. It's crazy, right?
That's so hard to believe.
I feel like I was nothing but nice to her. And, you know,
what set her off?
Who knows? What sets Heather off? That's like, literally, it came to light what everybody warned me about. And I had no idea it was going to happen. And I mean, I broke my foot before we were going to Vegas for Farrah's birthday. Farrah and I were driving up. Heather was already there. She was meeting us there or something. Heather did not like that I was on crutches with a broken foot. She thought that I was making them look bad because they didn't look as good if they were there with a girl on crutches.
What? Wow.
And she started running off at the mouth. They left me.
Farrah and Heather left you?
No, they left me. Yeah, they left me. Yeah, because Heather didn't want to deal with somebody on crutches, and she was just, I can't even describe Heather, and I don't want to be mean. It's really the only way to describe
maybe
Heather.
Challenging. Anyway,
and then she started posting stuff that night. She started posting stuff, really, really rude stuff about me, about my husband, about everything on social media for no reason. Don't know why. Well, I know why, because she's freaking sociopath, but that was my last interaction with Heather.
Yeah, I completely can relate because Heather did the exact same thing to me where she literally was posting about me and my husband. She always drags family members into the drama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she doesn't. What's that?
She doesn't care. She'll use anything she can. And I don't really even understand what the point is or what she's trying to gain, but you know, it is what it is. I'm fine with never, ever, ever, ever seeing her again.
I completely agree with you on that. Well, I know Farrah was talking to me about an incident where Heather was basically trying to break up you and Farrah's friendship and you and Farrah were really tight. And I know that Heather was, telling, can't remember exactly how Farrah told the story, but basically she was saying things like trying to pit you two against each other.
And that was then. That was the Vegas thing. Yeah.
And I know Farrah felt terrible about when she realized what Heather was doing. And then Heather ended up breaking into Farrah's computer and broke into Farrah's Facebook and like deleting Farrah's friends and doing crazy shit. And that's when Heather realized like, oh, I'm backing the wrong horse right now. Heather's crazy. And Bev is like, is my girl. And then I know she felt horrible about that because she told me. And
I was mad at Farrah for a while about that because she did side with Heather with all of Heather's craziness. And I couldn't understand it. I was really upset about it, you know? So, but then Farrah, you know, came to me, we hashed out, she apologized, and I absolutely forgave her because she was sincere about it, you know? And I appreciated the fact that she gave a shit, you know?
I love, Farrah is such an amazing friend. Absolutely.
Yeah, and
did you live with Amber Lake also?
So Amber and I, she was probably my best friend in LA before she moved out of LA. We on and off stayed together. She stayed with me for a little while she was in between places. We never like officially like were roommates, but we were together all the time. Like she was awesome. I loved Amber. I still love Amber. She's in Alabama now. Yeah, she's my best friend when we were in LA. And it's funny because I never knew her from the show. I met her when we did this appearance tour with Jamie and Catherine, I think. And I can't even remember who else. We did some random appearance tour kind of around the Southwest. And that's when I first met Amber.
Nice.
And we just realized we lived really close and we started hiking together and we started hanging out and...
That's really cool. I love that. I want to talk, we only have a few minutes left, but I want to talk about Charm School for a minute. it sucks that you were sent home so early, but I know there was some stuff about Brittany Starr that we, the viewers, didn't really fully understand because what it looked like from our angle is that you just like were frustrated with Brittany Starr, that you just lost it and kind of did the hair yank thing. And it seemed brutal, you know, and it was, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something here that, you know, is that, was there more to the story of what got you so worked up with Brittany Starr?
Absolutely. Yes. So, well, first of all, Brittany Starr is insane. Everybody knew that on the show. I think once everybody saw that she was stealing everybody's dirty socks, they realized that. So, On the bus, there were these like condo bunks and then regular bunks. So basically when we first got on the buses, it was first come, first serve. So I was not one of the ones who got there fast enough to get one of the condo bunks, which are just much bigger. So basically as people would get eliminated, we were kind of in line to get the nicer bunks. So somebody had gotten eliminated. I don't remember. And it was my turn to get one of the condo bunks. Well, then Brittany Starr got kicked off of the pink bus because none of them could stand her. So they kicked her off. Nobody wanted her in the hotel where we were in. So she went to stay on the bus and she went and got into my new bed on the blue bus. So anyway, so somebody told me, well, Brittany just took your bed. Blah, blah, blah. So I went in there. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is a thing. We've all worked it out. Like, we're in line for this. No, it's my bed. Anyway, so we started getting into it about that. Well, then she starts bringing my kids into it and she starts saying, well, you know, you're a mother. How can you even be here? What are you even doing here? Like just really trying to think about that. Oh yeah. And that did not sit well with me at all. So we really, and I'm actually kind of surprised they didn't air it because I mean, we were in each other's face. I was fuming mad and she just kept going on about how she couldn't imagine how anybody who had children could do anything like this. And I'm like, what, who are you? Like, who are you? You don't know me, any of that, you know? So at that point, we didn't get into like any kind of fist fight then. We were just like in the aisle of the bus, just screaming at each other kind of. So she laid back in the bed. I crumbled up her cookies and threw them on her and said, how do you like cookie crumbs in the bed? So I was really hoping they would air because I thought that was funny. But anyway, so she got eliminated that night, which I was pretty sure was going to happen, which I told her. I said, well, don't worry, you're going to get eliminated and I'll have my bed anyway. She did. She got eliminated. And I never saw her again until the first day at Charm School.
Oh, wow.
So all of that kind of pent up, her bringing my children into it, her, you know, that she, sorry about that. I guess the stock market just closed. So yeah, her saying the things she said, I mean, I was really, really unhappy with her. And I didn't even know she was going to be on Charm School. So I didn't know until like we literally got into the house and then she was there. And that was the first time I saw her since that time.
Oh, wow.
So that's why people don't understand like why I was so, so irritated
with
her.
It was pent up.
Yeah, it was very pent up, very pent up. And I had no patience. And she, I mean, I just had no patience.
Yeah, I get it.
There was tequila involved, you know?
Yeah, so. Of course. A crazy environment. I totally get it. Well, Bev, I am so happy that you came on to the podcast. I really appreciate your time. Before I let you go, I want to ask you how life is now and how are your kids? How's your daughter? And I understand she's here with you today.
She is,
Bring her over. Let's say hi.
So this is my middle one. This is the one, if anybody follows me on Instagram, has seen her play the DUI
prank.
That was super fun.
Yeah, you are a little prankster, and I love you for it. And I also love you for your Nirvana shirt.
I know. How funny is that? Yeah, I'm like, actually, my boyfriend asked her, were you even born when they were a band? And I'm like, no, you know what? Kurt Cobain died in like 94.
Yes.
She was born in 2000.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that she likes them.
I think it's great, too. They were one of my favorite bands. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, they're great.
Aww.
But yeah, no, they're doing great. She's in school. She's graduated high school.
Nice.
Her brother's great. He's an engineer now. And my youngest, Austin, she's a sophomore. So she's doing really good with the whole COVID, having a homeschool / real school / it's been kind of a pain, but she's dealing with it and managing. So everything's good.
Oh, I am so happy for you. And you're married, you're happy, your kids are beautiful.
Not married.
Not married? Okay. You're happily not married.
Kids are beautiful. I'm happily not married, but I'm happily in a relationship.
Happily in a relationship. That works.
Yeah.
That works. That's awesome. Well, congratulations with everything you got going on. I know you're not on social media that much, but how can people find you?
Oh, well, if anybody wants to buy a car, please come buy one for me because I do sell cars now.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. And anybody in the Atlanta area, Ed Boyle's Chrysler Jeep Dodge. I know that's a shameless plug, but you know.
No, please. No, I have everybody use shameless plugs. We're all about it over here.
Right, so. Absolutely.
Yeah, make that dollar, girl. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's Instagram.
Huh?
Your Instagram.
What's my Instagram?
Bev Rocks. It's BEVROX.
That's
she
awesome.
Doesn't use it, but I go on it. Let's see.
Can you tell like in just like a minute or two the prank that you pulled on your mom? Because that was fucking amazing.
Yeah. So like I don't know if you've heard of TikTok.
Yes.
But it's like
I'm not that old.
I mean, she doesn't know it, so
I am old, but I know a couple of things. Yeah.
So there was like a trend on TikTok and it was like, call your parents to pretend you're in jail. So we did it at the beach and she's really gullible. So it worked and it was really funny. And I just kept going with it. And my friend Lauren was like, you have to end it at some point. So I ended it and it was just really funny.
I didn't believe you at first.
Yeah, you had to work your mom for that.
Yeah.
It was great. You were committed to the role of I'm being arrested, mom. You got to come help me.
Yeah.
And then she was like doubting you. You just kept with it. You were like, you were dedicated. And then finally, after like several long minutes, as soon as she starts to like full blown panic, you're like, ha ha, I got you.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, no, don't panic. Don't actually do anything.
I'm like, I'm about to drive down to Florida and go bail her out.
That's amazing. Well, now you can never get arrested. You know this, right?
I know.
That's what I told her.
I'll just call somebody else. It's okay.
I like that she's got a backup plan just in case.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see Beverly's amazing daughter's hilarious prank on Bev, then definitely go to, you said at Bev Rocks, ROX. Is that correct?
Yeah.
On Instagram?
Apparently,
awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Beverly, I love you so much. You're going to have to come back. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you as well for coming on. And it's nice to see, you know, the whole family. So
good. Well, we appreciate you having us on too. It was really fun. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
That was so much fun. I feel like we got more tea with Beverly than I think we have any of the Rock of Love girls. That was all pretty amazing stuff. But anyway, I love me some Beverly. She's so great. And I also want to say once again, thank you so much to you guys and specifically the contributors. I actually want to give a big shout out to Zena. Zena has been such a huge supporter of the Talk of Love podcast for, I mean, I think almost since the beginning. And she is just an amazing human being. So I want to say thank you so much to Zena. I know that Zena is also a big advocate for the nonprofit organization Wounded Warriors Project. They are an organization that has resources and help for our veterans. And that's a really great cause. So if you haven't done so already, please go check out the Wounded Warriors Project online and donate to them if you can. So thank you so much, Zena. Thank you so much to the contributors. You guys are amazing. I will see you next Monday. And until then, be safe, take care of each other, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.